Fanatics has been getting in some serious shape during the pandemic, including acquiring the Topps trading card brand. And as we prep here for the Super Bowl, we want to bring in Michael Rubin. He's Fanatics founder and CEO, and also, of course, part owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. But we got to start with football, don't we, Mike? Let's talk about ahead of the game here. I'm curious what jersey sales are looking like, especially as you compare it to pre-pandemic, you know, and with the flows that we have seen of people being able to go to games and not being able to go to games. What's the status right now?
Yeah, so first, NFL business overall and Fanatics business has been great. NFL was up 30% in revenue last season. And in the playoffs, they've been up 40%. So spectacular growth from the NFL. When you think about the Super Bowl, I'll tell you something that shocked me, and I think it will shock you. If the Bengals win the Super Bowl, they'll be the biggest NFL champion ever in the history of Fanatics in the NFL. And that's because there's so much build-up demand from a town, you know, from a city that hasn't won the Super Bowl before. I'm actually friendly with the owners of the Rams, the Cronkies, great family. So I'm a little bit torn. Do I support my friends, Super Bowl's here in LA, or do I support Fanatics, who's told me it's 2-1 in revenue, Bengals to Rams?
Mike, do you have any Joe Burrow jerseys left in stock here?
You know, jerseys have been selling incredibly fast. I'm sure we have some, but I will tell you, with all the supply chain challenges this year, with Cincy being such a small market, it's definitely going to be a very in-demand jersey today. So I know we have some, but definitely not as in stock as any of us would like to be, with this being a small market team. Probably 2 years ago, it was probably number 31, 32, 30 in the NFL sales. And this year, if they were winning the Super Bowl, they'll be the number one team without question.
Tom Brady, official. He is retiring, Michael. What have you seen with his jerseys? And when you see that type of generational player retire, how does that impact the business moving forward?
Well, first of all, nobody has ever sold more jerseys in the history of our company and in the history of sports than Tom Brady. He's a literal jersey selling machine. We thought when he played for the Patriots and won 6 Super Bowls with them that nobody would ever sell more jerseys. Then he went to Tampa Bay, which was at that point one of the least purchased NFL teams, made it the number one team. And when he retired, yet again, so many people bought his jerseys. And you know what? This guy, you know, played just such an incredible season last season. I don't know. I'm still hopeful maybe some way he decides that, you know, this retirement thing's not for him. And after you leave him at home for a few months without the stress, you know, maybe he gets convinced to get right back in the game. We love Tom Brady and the jersey selling machine that he is.
Well, luckily, you got some other jersey selling machines as well, even if they're not quite as big as Brady. I want to ask you about another side of the business too.
We have so many. That's the great thing about the NFL. We have so, you know, every year there's new players, new rookies. I mean, that's the great thing about Fanatics is 1 year you're going to have a team that nobody cares about. The next year, they can be the number one selling team. The same thing goes with players. So that's our business. But I'm a little extra special with Brady and how many jerseys he sold versus what a great guy he is.
Yeah, I think you're not alone, certainly, in that sentiment, Mike. I want to ask you about a rare part of the sports business that you're not in yet, and that's sports betting. And going into this, Axios is reporting there are 45 million people eligible for betting ahead of this Super Bowl that weren't eligible last time because of all of these states that have now legalized sports betting. What's your current thinking on this space?
Yeah, so for Fanatics, as you know, we started in the merchandise business. That's where our roots are. You know, really began with the business in 2011. And really for the next 8 years, we were solely focused on building the merchandise business and really just improving the experience for the fan. Beginning about 2 years ago, we started really transforming our business into a leading digital sports platform. And as part of that, we have not only Fanatics Commerce, which is our merchandise business, we have our NFT business, we have our trading card business, but online sports betting and iGaming is a business that we think for us will be a very significant business long-term. You know, I'll put it out there. We want to be the number one player in the world long-term. So a decade from now, I'd be disappointed if we weren't the top player in the world, both in online sports betting and iGaming. We're just getting started. I do not think this is a business that you need first to enter into. I think this business, like a lot of businesses, so many people got into it early because of how big it's going to be, and it will be that big. And there's been so much money invested and in a lot of cases lost. And I think this business will become a good business long term. It's a very tough financial business today. People investing not hundreds of millions of dollars, but billions of dollars in losses this year, and will continue to do so. And from our perspective, we have probably the most digitally oriented transactional commerce brand. And we have the best database in all of sports. So that's a real structural advantage to help Fanatics become the ultimate leader in this business and at the same time give a better experience to the fans. So I'm super bullish on the business. I think it's going to be a big business long-term, and we certainly want to be a major player in the business long-term.
Do you think that you guys would buy your way into that business, or do you think you would develop it internally?
Yeah, so right now we have a very aggressive organic plan that includes leveraging our brand and our database and you know, kind of buying market access in most states. That said, as a company, I think we've always been somewhat inquisitive when we can find a way to get capabilities to move more quickly to ultimately, you know, better satisfy sports fans with trading cards, collectors. And so ultimately, I'm sure that we'll buy pieces to accelerate our growth. But kind of the whole, you know, framework of our plan is an aggressive organic plan in North America. Outside of North America, I think there's a lot of business that makes sense. In North America, to be honest, there aren't things that I want to buy at this point. I think they're just too expensive.
Well, let's focus on something you did buy, $500 million for Topps, Michael. To use the football pun, you wrote a playbook on how to get an M&A deal done really under the radar. How did you do this deal, and what's next for Topps?
Yeah, you know, for us, it was all about the vision of really, you know, continuing to grow the trading cards business. The trading cards business is a very interesting one. It's one where you have many manufacturers that make trading cards. They then sell them to distributors, not to retailers. There's distributors sell them to retailers. The retailers sell them to resellers. The resellers put them on eBay. eBay, put, you know, kind of sells them to collectors. And what we realized is we took some learnings from our Fanatics commerce business, and we applied that toward the trading card business, that we could build a much better business. So we essentially went to all of the rights holders and said, hey, why don't we create a new company, majority owned by Fanatics. We'll give you guys equity in this new company, and we can really improve the collector experience within trading cards, and places where you could not only buy the primary cards, but we could create a secondary marketplace, a bunch of other ancillary services, build more of a direct-to-consumer business. So once we created that, Topps became a great way to kind of, you know, move forward in our timing of getting into this business. So we're super excited about the business. You know, Topps is the most iconic brand in trading cards, been in business for 70 years. I think when someone thinks trading cards, they think Topps. And we, you know, welcome 350 great members of the team to not only help us build the Topps business, but also to take over the NBA business and the NFL business that will move over to us within the next 4 years once their deal ends with Panini.
Mike, the trading card business is so fascinating to me because it has been such a cyclical business, right? It has become really hot again during the pandemic as people have gone into their attics and pulled out their own old cards and needed something to do during the time when they were sitting at home. But definitely it has had some long, slow periods in its history. So jerseys are pretty stable, right? When you're getting into a business like this, how do you think about that cyclicality?
Yeah, so first of all, you're 100% right. And I think there's reasons why that's happened. The two biggest reasons I'd say is the new model of trading cards is generally now a property, whether it's, you know, Pokemon or whether it's Star Wars or whether it's Major League Baseball or National Hockey League, they pick a partner. In the old days, you had so many partners making their own, you know, similar property trading cards, and that was a broken model. And so that got fixed, and that set up a lot of growth. But here's the problem. You have this really big business, and no one is marketing the growth of the category overall. So when we think about this business, we think about today, a business that's $10 or $15 billion, essentially has no marketing spend. If you think about any other consumer product, whether it was, you know, a pair of Nike shoes or a Gatorade drink or a Pepsi drink or, you know, cosmetics, marketing is a big part of what they do. We believe to really grow this industry overall, and we think we're going to be the person that's most responsible for growing the industry, we need to aggressively market and get more collectors into the business. So we're thinking about two things. How do we exponentially grow the amount of collectors in the business to grow the market? And the second thing is, how do we make the collector experience much better? And so I'm highly confident that when we begin marketing for the first time and improving the collector experience, that we can get consistent growth. Obviously, the other thing that's going in our favor right now is alternative investments are far more interesting for the younger generation. And whether it's investing in art, whether it's investing in NFTs or crypto or trading cards, this is where the younger generation is. And trading cards are a great place to invest, but we still need to introduce it to so many more people. This will kind of surprise you. There's probably only 5 million collectors today of trading cards. And my goal would be, how do we have 50 million or, you know, 100 million collectors or hundreds of millions of collectors? So I think there's a huge opportunity for us to really grow this market.
And Michael, when you're not doing big deals and running Fanatics 24/7, oh, yeah, you're also an owner in the 76ers. Now, there were some reports a couple years ago that you kicked the tires on buying the Carolina Panthers. The Broncos are up for sale. Do you want to throw your hat in the ring?
No, not at all. So you're 100% right. I did get close and serious about buying the Panthers in 2018. And had that happened, I would not have had the opportunity to focus in on Fanatics and really transform the company from the original Fanatics Commerce merchandise business to today really creating the leading digital sports platform. If we really execute on the opportunity we have in front of us, this can be one of the most valuable companies in all of technology. It could be the most valuable company in sports long term. And to me, that's something I'm so excited about. Owning the sports team takes waking up and going to bed every day obsessed with winning championships for your city. And I don't have the time and energy or really the ability to have the distraction to have any further ownership in sports. So certainly I'm a 10% minority owner of the Philadelphia Sixers. We have a great group of people who like each other. But I'm not interested in making any further sports investments across any league. It's not that I don't believe sports is a great place to invest. It's that I believe the best use of my time is in leading Fanatics, through this, digital transformation, building the leading digital sports platform.
On the 76ers, Mike, where does Ben Simmons end up?
Look, only time will tell. We've got a great general manager in Daryl Morey, great ownership group led by Josh Harris and David Blitzer. And, today's a trade deadline at 3 o'clock. We've got, got about 4 hours left. And, that's what makes the NBA so exciting. Things happen all the time. Look, Ben's a great player. He's a 3-time All-Star. We're missing him today. We'd love to have him back on the court. And, only time will tell.
And finally, wrapping it up and getting back to the Super Bowl, I think you said Bengals from a business perspective, Rams from a sort of personal and friend perspective. I have to admit, I'm new to your Instagram feed, and I'm fascinated because, it's very entertaining. I'm going to be watching on Saturday because you guys have a big fanatic Super Bowl party. Gives you plenty of time to then, I guess, recover for before the game on Sunday, right? So, what are you looking forward to as your highlight of the weekend? You got your party, you got the halftime show, you got the game itself. What do you think?
So, for me, I hate to admit this. I don't look forward to any of it. It's just kind of like Fanatics building this business. Tomorrow we host a lunch for 100 of the kind of most important people around the Super Bowl. On Saturday, we have what's always, the Super Bowl's best party of the weekend. And then we have the game on Sunday. We have tons of friends where Robert Kraft and I share a suite together and, curate a great group of friends. All of that is, it's fun for me, but I'm always just pushing. I'm sleeping 3 hours a day right now and just going on pure adrenaline.
Wow, you and Brian Sazi are
we got to hang out, Michael. I got to get your email, man.
I got you. We'll tell you where to find me, and I look forward to it.
Michael Rubin, Fanatics founder and CEO, thanks so much. Hope you enjoy the weekend, even though it will be also work for you. But thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.